But you have a word for the people, Lord, because you love them so much. Lord, anoint my speech. Lord, open the understanding of the people for what I have to say today, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence here among us, and we love you with all our hearts. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. I'm sorry, if you're looking for milk today, I don't have any milk. I wish I did. I like milk myself. But sometimes we got to have some meat to eat. And sometimes the meat is a little hard but to understand. But I'm hoping that you'll be able to understand this. The name of this is, I guess a good name would be Eternal Salvation, the Infernal Lie. Hallelujah. One of the greatest lies perpetuated by Satan, besides the fact that he doesn't exist, and it's also by the religious world, is known as the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, which means once saved, always saved. This is a main doctrine for some of the major religions and churches in the United States. Hallelujah. You know, the doctrine says that once a person has been genuinely saved, and I'm speaking genuinely saved, they cannot under any circumstances lose their salvation, that they are eternally secure because all sins, past and future, have been forgiven. That's the atonement that Jesus Christ paid on the cross. They say that even if a person enters into a sinful lifestyle, that they won't lose their salvation, but simply lose fellowship with Jesus. This is a Calvinistic doctrine, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is not supported in this book. There is nowhere in this book that you can say that the Lord said, once you're saved, no matter how much you sin, you're going to have eternal salvation. You know, this was something that was stated in the Westminster Confession in 1646 in the following words. They whom God hath accepted in his beloved effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. This was something that a group of people came up with, you know, but we know, unfortunately, that it is not true. Because Galatians 5:4 plainly states, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Hallelujah. So we can see that it is possible to fall from the grace of God, even though we are saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. You know, if you study Calvinism, there are many points made that seem to be very much in line, but there are also many that are not true because of the beliefs of John Calvin. I'm not here to debate Calvinism today, but I just want to bring you a better understanding of God and get closer to Jesus and understand our role as Christians. Hallelujah. I'm going to attempt to give you a greater understanding by comparing the verses that once saved, always saved preachers use to prove this belief in this false doctrine. I hope to show you that it's a myth, that it's not true, and it's one of the most dangerous and soul-damning doctrines in the church today, that you are eternally saved no matter how much you sin. You know, we're all going to sin. We're all going to sin. Every one of us is a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a major sinner. I know that. I have no doubt about it. But you know what? I do my best to keep from sinning. I try, but you know what? No matter what happens, we all fall into sin because that's our nature. We have a sin nature. But you know what? The Lord made a provision for that. We don't have to worry about that we can live an unrepentant life, but we have to worry about it. We have to worry that we can live a life where we never repent for our sins, hallelujah, and still have salvation. You know, God has already made a provision that if we confess, let me just read this here, First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what? If you don't confess your sins, if you don't go to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, I repent of these sins and try to change your life, it's not going to do anything for you. He cannot forgive you if you do not ask for forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. God wants to forgive us all. But you know what? Unless we ask, he's not going to do it. We need to ask for forgiveness. We don't can't walk around and live a life of sin and think, oh, I'm forgiven. I'm not even going to worry about it. I can just do whatever I want. I knew a preacher, and he called that stretching grace. Grace, you cannot stretch grace. It's not a rubber band, you know, but a lot of people try to. Oh, well, it's okay. It's okay. I can do it because I'm saved anyway. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie that the devil has perpetuated, that man has perpetuated, that religion has perpetuated. That, oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want to. Oh, well, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to rob a bank. Oh, I'm going to rape a couple of women. I'm going to steal money. I'm going to kill some people. But I'm not worried about it because I have eternal salvation. No, you don't. Sorry, you know, listen to this. Okay, now this is one of the verses that the eternal salvation people use. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. But Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know what? Our sins will separate us from God. I don't care how hard you think he's holding on to you. If you just keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and not acknowledging that you are a sinner, that you need to repent, that you need to change your life, guess what? The Bible says you're going to be separated from him and he's going to turn his face from you. You're not going to have eternal salvation. But even though, no matter how bad we sin, God still loves us. Listen to this, Ezekiel 18:23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. God wants to forgive us. He doesn't get any pleasure from seeing his children that he created, that he loves so much. He does not get any pleasure from seeing them perish. He wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to repent. He wants us to change. I know it's hard sometimes to change from the life that we live. It's very hard, you know, because we've lived that life for so long. And I preached a sermon to my people in the park the other day. I think it was on called the comfortable, easy feeling of sin, how comfortable sin is, how it invites us back all the time, how it tells us, oh, don't you remember? Oh, yeah, don't you remember this? And don't you remember you had all this stuff? And it's so easy to fall back into it because we spent so much of our lives in it. So it's a struggle, it's a battle that we have to do. And that's the perseverance, people, the battle that we have to do to change our lives, to keep from living a life of total sin. You know, here's another one they use, that the Calvinists use. John 5 and 24 says, I should say the eternal security preachers. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. He who hears my word. John 5 and 37 says, and the Father himself, which have sent me, have borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice, or at any time, nor see his shape. John 5 and 38 says, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Hallelujah. We hear the word of God, but it doesn't live in us. We hear it, and people just throw it out. Oh, yeah, well, I'm not supposed to sin. I'm supposed to live a holy life. Oh, forget that, man. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. I don't care what that preacher said. I don't care what the Bible says. I got a different Bible. My Bible says I can do whatever I want to. I don't know. Maybe they do have a different Bible. I sometimes wonder, do people have a different Bible than this? There's only one word of God. You know, it's not going to be made into like something like, oh, well, you can do whatever you want. No. If we have the word and believe in Jesus Christ, yeah, we're going to have eternal security, because guess what? We're following his word. There is an eternal security, but it's only through Jesus Christ and following his word and believing in what he says. You know, listen to this. John, this is another one that eternal security people use. John 10 and 27 through 10 and 29. My sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Let me read Hebrews 6 and 4, which is the answer to this. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have trusted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Hebrews 6:6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Yes, we can be taken out of the hand of God. And who does it? Who takes us out of the hand of God? We do. We're the ones that turn our back on him. He never turns his back on us. I don't care who you are. If you trust in the Lord, he will never, ever turn his back on you. He will not ever let you down. Hallelujah. But guess what? The Lord says, well, you know what? I want you to live. Well, I don't want to hear that. I don't. You go away. Leave me alone. I'm not even going to listen to that stuff. You know, I'm sick of the church. I don't want to go to church anymore. They have all this stuff they want to tell me. That's the way we, and guess what? I don't believe in Jesus anymore. Guess what? Jesus doesn't stop believing in you. But you've just thrown your salvation away. By you've not been anybody's fault, but yours and mine. Whoever it is that does it, we throw it away. We are the ones that turn our back. Oh, how many of us have done it? How many people have I known in my life that said, I don't believe in Jesus? Or I used to go to church, but I don't believe in that anymore. In fact, I was in a VA hospital the other day, or the medical center. I wasn't in the hospital. And I was talking, and this guy came up with, like, yeah, well, you know, I was raised in the church and all this, and I don't believe in that stuff anymore. I don't believe in Jesus anymore. I don't believe that stuff. He knew. He just turned his back and walked away. There's no more. There was one crucifixion. There's no more. God, Jesus cannot be crucified twice for our sins. He already got crucified once. There's no room, because he says, "What if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." I don't want to put Jesus to shame. I don't want to ever do that. Listen to this. This is something else the eternal security people use. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after did ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Ephesians 1:14, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Listen what the Bible has to say about that. Hebrews 10:26-10:29. "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Hebrews 10:29, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us that the unpardonable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Matthew 12 and 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sins and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is when you deny Jesus Christ. That's called apostasy. That's when we enter into an apostate stage and we deny Jesus Christ. So we therefore blaspheme him. We blaspheme the Holy Spirit because we all know that Jesus is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God, hallelujah, and we blaspheme again because we say, oh, I don't believe that. I used to believe it, but I don't believe it anymore because guess what? It interfered with my life, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm not going to worry about it because guess what? The preacher told me that I had eternal security, and I didn't have to worry about it, that if I quit the church, it didn't matter if I, you know, because all was going to happen was that Jesus wasn't going to hang out with me no more. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm still going to heaven because I have eternal security. No, it does not say that. This is what it says. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You know what? Jesus doesn't care. You can curse him. You can say he's an idiot. You can say he's a phony. You can say he's a fraud. Hallelujah. You can say he deserved to be crucified. And guess what? He'll still forgive you. He'll still forgive you. I wouldn't. But he will. But he says, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or the world to come. Don't deny the Lord Jesus. He is our only hope and salvation. Okay, and they said, well, you're sealed. The says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But Ephesians 4 and 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And you know, we grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? With our apostate ways, with our continual idea that we can keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and never change. You know, when you come up to this altar and you receive the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and you're baptized in Jesus' name, hallelujah, I hope that everybody that does that, that they say, wow, I need to change my life. I can't keep going the way I am. You know, when I got the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and was baptized in Jesus' name, I was smoking pot and doing all kinds of things and drinking, and I smoked cigarettes, and my every first, second word I said was a curse word. Hallelujah. But you know what? After I got baptized in the name of Jesus and received the Holy Spirit, I knew that I couldn't keep doing that no more. I knew that. So you know what I did? I cut off all of my friends because I knew that I had to make a decision. Was it Jesus Christ? Was I going to follow Jesus Christ, or was I going to follow them? And I made that decision to follow them. And these were people who I'd known for like 20 years. They were like family to me. But you know what? I had to cut them off because I knew I had to change. I couldn't keep being the same person I was. I couldn't keep living in sin. I couldn't keep being that way anymore. And that's what we got to understand, that God give you the Holy Spirit to give you the power, to give you the strength to overcome sin. It's not a license to sin. Some of us think, whoa, that's what the eternal security people, oh, it's a license to sin. No, it's not. You know, holiness, eternal security completely denies any need for holiness in the church. It denies any need for that. That's why you have churches today that have no standards of any kind for holiness. I know some people have a problem with it, and I know some people say, oh, well, the UPCI is legalistic. No, God, the UPCI is just trying to help you maintain those standards of holiness, so you need to know how you need to act, how you need to be, hallelujah, so that we can satisfy God, that we can make it, because the Bible tells us, Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, if we're not holy, we're not going to see the Lord. Excuse me. If somebody tells you something for your own good, you shouldn't get angry at them. Don't kill the messenger. He's just delivering the message. But we get angry. Oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to cut my hair for men. And the women's, I like this and I like that. Yeah, we all like that. I had long hair when I came into the church. My hair was, you know, I'd let it grow. My son had hair down to here. And you know what? I heard that holiness standards required that you come in men, that men should have their hair cut. So guess what? I took my son and I cut his guy's hair cut. And I got my hair cut. And my poor wife freaked out because all of a sudden, here's this little boy with these beautiful golden curls come home with no curls, just a hair, just a little head of hair. That's it. Because you know what? I'm far from being perfect. And I know my holiness standard sometimes don't meet up to what they need to be. But you know what? I try. I try my best. And that's what we need. That's all what God asks from you. He's not asking for you to be perfect. He's just asking you to give it your best, to give it 100%. Not 30% or 40%. Give it 100% to try to be best. He knows we're not going to be perfect. He knows that. He made provisions for that. If we were all perfect, we'd be in heaven. There wouldn't be nobody on earth. We'd be all up there with the angels. You know, here's another one that eternal security people use. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle with a teacher and a teacher of the Gentiles. 2 Timothy 1 and 11. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I want to redirect you back to 2 Timothy 1:11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Well, you know what the Bible tells us? Listen to this, 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4:4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's it, you know. Hey, I'd love to have to think that, yeah, I got eternal freedom. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm going to head down to the bar, and I'm going to get drunk as a pig, and I'm going to do maybe start a fight or two with somebody, you know? Oh, I'm going to run out here and buy me a big fat bag of reefer and sit out and smoke it because I don't have to worry about it. It ain't no sin. You know, I'm going to go commit adultery. It's not because I know it don't matter. Evidently, the people in the United States think it doesn't matter because half of them are committing adultery. But they say, oh, it's okay. And I'm talking about church people. It's okay because I have eternal security. I have eternal security. I don't have to worry about it. I can do whatever I want, and I don't have to worry about it. I'd love to be able to have, just say, oh, I know I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm totally secure. You know, 2 Peter 2:20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28, and this is another argument, another verse that the eternal security people use. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 8:30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. You know, Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works. Just because we've been called, we're not guaranteed eternal security. You know, we're not guaranteed eternal security. I don't care. You might be working for God. You might be preaching. You might be in the choir. You might have a ministry, whatever. But if you are not doing the will of God, we are not going to make it. We are not going to make it. I don't care how hard we try. We are not going to make it. And what's God's will? Be holy, for I am holy. Okay, hallelujah. Another argument they use is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Hebrews 10 and 26, I'll read it again. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. 10 and 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God said, look, I made you free. I delivered you from sin. Don't go back to it. Don't get tied up in it again. It's bondage. You're not going to be able to break those bonds because you just want to keep on sinning and doing all the things that you want to do. You know, and I'm speaking of willful sinning. Yeah, because we know we're all going to sin. But there are people who just think they can do it because they think that they don't have to worry about it. Those are the people that we have to worry about. You know, I want you all, I hope some of you retain what I'm saying here. So when you hear somebody tell you that they've got eternal security, that you have an argument to come against them to let them know, no, you're living a lie. You don't have eternal security. God loves you. He wants you to be with Him. He wants you to have security. But you know what? You cannot live a total life of sin. You cannot turn your back on God and say, well, I'll face it on my own. Hallelujah. I want to believe it. I want to believe in it. But guess what? There's so many people, and I'm sure that every preacher that preaches eternal security believes it in his heart. They believe it in their heart that they actually have eternal security. They're not preaching it to say, well, I'm going to just preach a lie. No, they're preaching it because they believe in it. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's a book of life, and the Lord looks at it, and He has written our name in it, all of them. If we live a life of sin, and our name shall be blotted out, and we'll be cast into a lake of fire. If we can be overcomers of the desire and temptation to keep sinning, then our names will not be blotted out. Exodus 20:32 and 20:33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whoso hath sinned against me, him I will blot out of my book. Revelation 20 and 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20 and 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. That should be enough for you to know that there is no such thing as eternal salvation. If God can blot your name out, then guess what? You're going to go into a lake of fire, so you don't have it. You know, I just want to read something real quick here. You know, this is something that you could speak for hours on. But I want to read, there's a man named Henry Schilling, and he wrote a book called The Gift of the Gods. And it says, you reader or any other truly born again Christian cannot reread these eternal security verses and get eternal security out of them. The only way that eternal security can be attached to these verses is to read it into them. This proves that eternal security is an extra-biblical, external philosophy seeking biblical sanction. People are educated into eternal security just as truly as atheists are educated in atheism. Hallelujah. It's not something that's in the Bible, but we can, you know, people read it into the Bible. People read it, yeah, oh, it says we have eternal security. No, that's not true. But, you know, we do have a security from the Lord, and that should be enough for us. And the Bible says, Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. God said he's never going to leave us or forsake you. That's enough security for me. I don't need to worry about it, because guess what? He made me a promise. But if I turn my back on him, how can he be with me? If I walk away from him, he can't be with me. I just left. If I leave him, that's, you know, if you leave somebody, they're in the back. They're not there anymore. You leave them behind. You know, Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's all the security that we need to have, to know that no matter what happens, if we trust in Jesus Christ, if we are true believers and we truly been saved, that all we need to do is come to him and he will forgive us for our sins if we repent and ask him for forgiveness. I don't need eternal security. I have eternal security through Jesus Christ. And you know why I have it? Because I follow him. I have given my life to him. Hallelujah. I'm not turning back. I'm not going to step away from him. I'm going to stay with him until the very end, because he said, hallelujah, he said, if I make it to the end, listen to this, Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know what? I'm going to end in time, hallelujah, but I'm going to be with him till the very end, hallelujah, because I want salvation, and I know that if I'm with him till the end, I will be saved, hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I just want to close real quick, and I know I'm running over, but Lord, have mercy and compassion on us. Lord, we're all sinners, Lord Jesus. We've all fallen short, Lord. But Lord, we know that you love us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that if we just keep following you, Lord, no matter how much we run into, Lord Jesus, that you'll deliver us from temptation, Lord Jesus. That we just have to trust in you, Lord Jesus. And we have to make sure, Lord, that we follow your word and that we understand you and that we love you, Lord Jesus. And we shall have eternal security. In the name of Jesus, bless you all. Thank you very much.